about John chapter 8 this morning? John chapter 8. I'm going to make a statement several times over in this message this morning. Brother Davies, did you set that clock ahead when you fixed it? That's unfortunate. I'm going to make a statement several times throughout this message. And if you don't get anything else I say today, you got to get this. True freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. True freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. What is true freedom? Well, I can start by telling you what it's not. True freedom is not a license to follow your heart. There are certain phrases that I just despise. And one of them is follow your heart. You know why? Because your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. It will mislead you. Mine has many, many times. Your heart will tell you that this is the year that Baltimore is good in baseball. It lies. Your heart will tell you that watermelon's not a good food. It lies. It's great. Found that out yesterday and it broke my heart. Somebody didn't like watermelon. It tells you if you elect this guy or if you elect this party that everything's going to be fine. How many times do we have to see that not prove true? It tells you that you're good enough and that you can get yourself to heaven if there is one. It lies. True freedom is not a license to follow your heart. It's not a license to live without boundaries. I heard this over and over again when we were in Alaska. It's the last free state. And there's a lot of freedom up there. But you know, I also realize they do still have laws. In Alaska, you can't walk up to somebody and for no good reason kill them. It does have some boundaries. Not many. No speed limit to speak of. But it does have boundaries. It is not a license to do as you please. It is not a license to live by your own rules. Do you remember what Paul told us the fruits of the Spirit are? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's the next one? Temperance. That's self-control. That's boundaries. Well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm redeemed. And I can just do whatever. You can once. And you may not lose your salvation. You won't lose your salvation. But that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Paul said this in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So if true freedom is not a license to follow your heart, if it's not a license to live with no boundaries, if it's not a license to do as you please, if it's not a license to live by your own rules, then what is true freedom? Here it is. You ready? True freedom is the God-given and God-sustained liberty to be and to do that for which God created you. That is true freedom. Well, okay, for what was I created? To glorify God and to serve Him by obeying His word and reaching others. That's why we were put here. And if you want true freedom, if you want true freedom, that is the God-given and God-sustained liberty to do just that. You've heard these verses frequently. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Pastor, I just don't know the will of God. Okay, you may not know the specific vocational will of God for your life, but I can tell you what it is right now. Fear God, keep his commandments. You know, Micah touched on it. Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And when we're at the end of this thing, you know what we're still going to be saying in Revelation 4? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God did not put us on this earth for anarchy. He did not put us on this earth for rioting. He did not put us on this earth to force our views upon others, whether they're conservative, liberal, Christian, or atheist. He put us on this earth to glorify him, to obey his word, by serving him and reaching others. That's why we're here. And if you feel enslaved today, it's because you are not living in the purpose that God gave you. I ask you, what can you enjoy without boundaries? I love baseball. I do. But I couldn't enjoy baseball without the foul lines. Baseball is not enjoyable without the outfield wall. I know that for a fact because my high school baseball field didn't have one. And so if you happen to get what should have been a double past a slow outfielder, it became an in-the-park home run all the time. And it was always the other team and never us. Boundaries make things better. True freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. Now, John 8. To give you a little bit of context, in verses 1-11, we see Jesus and the woman taken in adultery. This was a sham from the beginning. If they were really interested in justice, the man would have been there too. But he wasn't. They wanted to trap Jesus. And Jesus, of course, says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The only one that had a legitimate right to cast a stone that day didn't. He says, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You say, well, Andy, that sounds to me like we can do what we want. Mm-mm. He didn't say, neither do I convict thee. You're guilty. Your conviction is guilty. He said, neither do I condemn thee. I don't stand before you on my way to heaven because I haven't been convicted. I have been duly found to be guilty. But I serve a God that because of Jesus Christ and his finished work says, neither do I condemn thee. Then in verse 12, he proclaims himself to be the light of the world. Verses 13-18, he presents witnesses of this truth to the unbelieving Pharisees. Then in verses 19-29, he elaborates on his relationship to the Father. And then in verse 30, he speaks to those who the Bible says believed on him. We'll get into what that means in just a second, but let's read our passage. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. A translation that says shall set you free is mistranslated. There's a big difference between being set free and made free. If you lived in any of the cultures in which there was slavery, you could be set free and you could be re-enslaved. But if you were made free, you could not be re-enslaved. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be made free than set free. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, true freedom. True freedom. Father, would you help me to preach and teach this in the way that most pleases you? I am aware of the time, Lord, and I yield to you. Help me to preach as long as you'd have me to, but Lord, no longer. If I can get this done in 20 minutes, I sure would like to. But Lord, if you've got work to do in our lives, then we'll submit to your leadership. Speak to our hearts. May we be open and receptive. If there's somebody here today that's never been saved, I pray they trust Christ. May Christians be helped, and may Jesus be lifted up. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. It says in verses 30 and 31 that there were some that believed on him. Now, I'm sorry to report to you that that word believe does not imply a saving faith. It is the first step towards saving faith. They like what they're hearing. They're embracing what they're hearing, but they have not yet gotten to the point where they have fully trusted in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The best way I could give you an example would be back in John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You have a group of people that they've begun to move towards him, mostly because of what they saw him do, but they have not come to the point of saving faith, and Jesus did not take them because he knew what was going on in here. And that's what we see here in John chapter 8. Sadly, these are people that they were beginning to understand, and some of them would eventually come to Christ, but as of yet they haven't, and you'll see in their attitude that they haven't. But even so, we can use them as an example for ourselves. True freedom. Let's begin with the obstacles to true freedom. What stands in the way of having true freedom? Let me ask you something. I don't want to raise the hands. If you can do your best, don't even give me any kind of visual cues. But how many of us have something in our lives that we feel robs us of our freedom? You know, Hebrews chapter 12, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, Paul, says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Every one of us, whether now or some other time, have been enslaved by something. Are you sick of it? Are you done with it? Are you ready to be free of it? Well, I want to talk about some obstacles to true freedom. The first is this: squandered redemption. Jesus offers redemption to anyone who will have it. It is my belief, it is my conviction that anyone who wishes to be saved may be saved. I believe that Jesus did not come to die in a limited way to atone. I believe that his death atones for all who will have salvation. I believe that. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I'm not talking about being religious, I'm not talking about being a good person, I'm not talking about being baptized, you've never trusted Christ, can I tell you something? You're squandering redemption. Anybody that goes to hell with their sins paid for. How tragic is that? They go to hell with their sins paid for. We've established that that these Jews' belief was not yet saving faith. Look at verse 44. Verse 44 to give you an idea of where they're headed. What did Jesus say? Ye of your father, the devil. That doesn't sound like somebody got saved to me. Ye of your father, the devil. And the unsaved, more than anyone else, is enslaved. Peter, in 2 Peter 2, speaking of the unjust, the unsaved, he said, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. They cannot cease from sin. Hey, Christian, stop expecting the world to be like you. Here's one of those truth bombs, Ryan. Truth grenades. Sinners, sin. They live sinfully, they act sinfully, and so do some saints. I can't believe what they're bringing into our school. I can't believe what they sued that guy for. Hey! Sinful people do sinful things. Stop being surprised by it. Peter tells us they can't help it. It's all in their unregenerate existence they know to do. It is instinct. It is the result of a sin nature. My dog, bless his heart, does some awful things that I don't like. Can't believe that dog just did that. He's a dog. And until some outside influence comes in and changes that dog's behavior, he's going to keep acting like a dog. Well, until an outside influence comes into a sinner and changes their behavior, they're going to sin too. No one can know any measure of true freedom without knowing Christ. Why? Because true freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. I'm all for these programs that help people get off drugs and off booze and everything else. But if Jesus is not part of this, if Jesus is not preeminent in this, what are you really doing? But it's not just the lost. There are many saved that are not living in true freedom. Even me. Even you. Why? Maybe they didn't squander their redemption. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I didn't. But maybe we got a shallow relationship. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He offers two ingredients in a proper growing relationship with him. The first is the ingredient of duration. Continue in my word. But how many people have made a profession and then never continued in his word? And they may be saved, but their relationship to him in that context is shallow. You look at any of the statistics regarding the cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and so forth. Large percentages of these groups are former evangelicals that didn't know their Bible well enough, that had no depth, shallow. What would you think of my marriage? When's Crystal's birthday? We'd like to send her a card. I don't know. When's your anniversary? No clue. Where'd she like to go out to eat? Where'd you meet her? Can't recall. After a while, you're going to start thinking, man, y'all's relationship's a bit shallow, isn't it? Now, I get it. Guys are bad about forgetting dates. I know that. But you know your wife, don't you? We're to dwell with them according to knowledge, is what the Bible says. We don't want a shallow relationship. Why is it if somebody asks us about Jesus? Where does it teach that he's virgin born? How do you know? Did he ever claim to be the Son of God? I think so. It's kind of shallow, isn't it? Are we not to be ready to always give an account for the hope that lies within us? We should know him better than that, shouldn't we? But not just duration. I'm sorry, I think I already got to my second point, depth. My disciples indeed. And many never live in their freedom, even though they're saved, because they lack duration. Their obedience to God's word is incomplete and it's inconsistent, and they lack depth. They don't aspire to a deeper learning through being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being saved and being a disciple are two different things. There's people like the thief on the cross. They're saved and they're going to make it in, but they have no depth. Jesus in John 15:4 said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth of the branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." What's he talking about? He's talking about duration. He's talking about depth. He's talking about a relationship that is more than shallow. Remember, true freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. So, what are obstacles to true freedom? Perhaps you've squandered your redemption. It's time to get saved. Maybe you're saved, but your relationship with him is shallow. Here's the third thing, sightless reasoning. You ever known somebody that just spewed out facts that had no real root in reality? I'm not trying to get political, but this happens most often in the political arena. It's the hottest it's been on the planet in 50 years. Think about this for a second, y'all. That means it was this hot 50 years ago. Right? There's no evidence to determine that capital punishment deters crime. It does with one criminal. See, and politicians are on both sides of the aisle, y'all. You want to see just a cacophony of lying? Watch debates. Republican debates, Democratic debates, it doesn't matter. They will fire off stuff that has no data to support it. None! But if you say something enough, people believe it. You know? Here's one. Never mind. Holy Spirit kept, keep going, look at the clock. I prayed and he's answering that prayer. Look at verse 33. Bless their hearts. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." These Jews were completely blind to their history. By the way, when this happens, usually it's self-induced. We convince ourselves of lies. When our reasoning is blind, it's because we've convinced ourselves of that. Here's a good one. I can quit anytime. "We've never been in bondage to any man." Well, that's true except for Egypt, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. Other than them, you have never been in bondage to any man other than them. You know? Kind of like Liz Taylor saying she was only married once. Some of y'all don't know who that was. They were likely willfully ignorant of their true condition, practically and spiritually. Jesus in verse 34 answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And there is no difference between them and the Christian who is living in sin and refuses to see it as such. Sightless reasoning. I lose patience with Christians on social media that in one post is talking about how ridiculously drunk they got at a party and then wants to put up a Bible verse for my encouragement. Save it. Me and my fiance, when we got up together this morning, we had devotions. Fiance and husband, two different things. Preacher, do you hate these folks? I don't. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I'm just saying if it's wrong, it's wrong. And when we try to ignore something wrong, and we all got wrong stuff in our lives, I'm just saying don't ignore it. I'm just saying don't pretend that it's not there or don't try to gloss it over. That is sightless reasoning. I've never been enslaved to any man. I'm enslaved right now. And so were they. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Right now, if you're enslaved to a sin, it's because you've yielded yourself to be such. This sightless reasoning is what denies us the God-given and God-sustained liberty to be and to do that for which we were created, and true freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. Obstacles to true freedom are squandered redemption, shallow relationships, sightless reasoning. So let's get into obtaining true freedom. How do I get it? How can we obtain the true freedom needed to fulfill our reason for being? First of all, thorough discipleship in the Scriptures. You know, I've been pastoring for 15 years now, and I keep looking for that magic answer. But can I tell you something? There's nothing easy about it. If you want to be free, you got to be willing to fight for it. Anybody else that's gotten freedom had to fight for it. Why do we think we don't? You don't have to fight to be saved, but you got to fight to be free. Well, what am I fighting, Andy? I'm fighting the devil. Not usually. I'm fighting the world. Not generally. What am I fighting? It's old flesh. My flesh doesn't want to do right. My flesh wants me enslaved. I got to fight that flesh. I can't be free because I just can't get up in the morning and read my Bible. How bad you want it? At the end of the day, we've got to be willing to just put forth the effort. Now, it's not just our effort. We'll see that in a minute. But thorough discipleship in the Scriptures. Look at verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." This is critical. You cannot separate Christian growth from the preaching and teaching of God's word. All of the inspirational memes on Facebook and Instagram are not enough to get you where you need to be. You cannot do it without this book. You just can't. This is true individually. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to grow, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to thoroughly disciple yourself in the Scriptures, and you think you're going to do it Sunday morning alone, wrong. Every day, open this book and say, "God, I need to hear from you." Every day. But it's also true corporately. Well, if I do that, I don't need church, right? you know what? You don't come because I'm a great teacher of the scriptures. Because I have preached and taught some honest-to-goodness stinkers. I'm sorry. I'm not Kenny Baldwin. I'm not Scott Pauley. I don't hit home runs every time. But that's not why you come. You come because Hebrews 10 tells us that we need each other. And that we are, what's the matter with you, Andy? Provoking one another unto good works. We're encouraging one another. And then what does Jesus say? When two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You don't come here because I speak to you. You come here because Jesus speaks to you. He's here right now. And if I'm going to be thoroughly discipled in the scriptures, I can't do it without his book, and I can't do it without his church. And as much as we appreciate online church, the Bible does not say, not forsaking the logging on of thyself together. It's the assembly of ourselves together. Thorough discipleship in the scriptures. Here's the second ingredient. You ready? Total dependence on the Savior. If we could get this, it would revolutionize everything. You ready? Here we go. You and me have no power to make ourselves one bit more spiritual. I don't care how many doors you knock on. I don't care how many chapters you read. I don't care. All of the points that we check off as good fundamentalists. You can't make yourself more like Jesus, and I can't make myself more like Jesus either. Now, I'm not saying these aren't worthwhile pursuits, but we've got to stop trying to figure out how to work ourselves into being more like Jesus. You can't. And you know what it does when you try? It frustrates you, and it makes you just want to quit. Paul, the greatest Christian to walk the planet, probably. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. When I want to do right, I do wrong. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do." I've been there. So what's his answer? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, I thought Jesus would get more of an amen than that. Either we believe Christ alone or we don't. The best youth program in the world, the best music program in the world, the best discipleship program in the world, the best preacher in the world won't get it done. It's Christ alone. And if we are not thoroughly and totally dependent on Jesus, we'll never be free. We've got to acknowledge our complete insufficiency. Look at verse 36. If the church, therefore, shall make you free, now I'm not mean-spirited about the King James, but if your Bible says the church, you need to get rid of that one. If the Republican shall make you free, and they won't. If baptism make you free, if visitation make you free, if attending Three to Thrive makes you free, it doesn't say any of that. What does it say? Let's read it again. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We have this idea that we needed Jesus to get saved, and then when we got saved, he said, okay, now run along, do your best. Remember what he said? I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Because you don't just need me to be saved, Andy. You need me to do right. And every time I've ever failed God, It's always been because I've been trying to do something in my own power. And I have failed every, Greek word, you ready? Stinking time. Our efforts are wholly insufficient. Without me, you can do nothing. Paul said, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If we would be free from besetting sins, we must acknowledge our complete dependence on Jesus. I want you to notice the order that we have here. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now listen to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And at the very end, depart from evil. You have no chance of departing from evil if you have not first trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. How is this best accomplished? I found it's best accomplished in prayer. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I ought to say to God is, Lord, I have no power to please you today. I need you. I need your help. I am completely dependent on you. Did you know that Solomon was the wisest man to ever live other than Jesus, even before God gave him his wisdom? He had the wisdom to ask for wisdom. You remember, what do you want, Solomon? What would we say if God asked us that? I'll tell you what my temptation would be. Family Life Center. You want riches? Fame? Safety from your enemies? What'd he say? And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. Listen to this. I know not how to go out or come in. I'm just a kid. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can I tell you something that's really going to engender a great deal of confidence in you for me? I've been your pastor for a decade now. I know less of how to do this than I did when I got here. You know, when I first started pastoring, I knew how to do everything. And over the years, I have learned I don't know anything. There's some of you, I'm 46 years old. Now, I know some of y'all say, you're just a kid. 46 don't feel like a kid, y'all. I don't feel like a kid. My hip's killing me right now. I used to make fun of people. What's aching on you today? Everything's aching on me today. But there's some of y'all, just being around you, I'm just a child, man. And the crazy thing is, some of you are younger than me when I feel that way. I can be around Aaron. Aaron's younger than me. He didn't look it, but he's younger than me. And he knows so much about, so much more than I know. I'm but a child. So now, here I stand in front of you. And one day, we're going to be big enough for me to justify leaving people on this platform so I'm not up here by myself. So other people can see what I embrace every Sunday morning. It's not the mean stares that bother me. Certainly not the happy stares. It's the blank ones. Those are the ones that... But can I be honest with you? Most of y'all have been at this longer than me. I'm but a child. I don't know how to go out or come in. So what's he say? Grant me wisdom that I may discern between good and evil and judge this thy so great a people. What's Solomon saying? Lord, I don't know how to do anything. I am totally dependent on you. What should be our prayer every morning? Lord, I don't know how to do anything. I am totally dependent on you. And when we really feel that way, when we really live that way, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit swoops in and says, okay, let's get you going. Oh, you don't need this. Keep this out of the way. Stay away from this. And we've given him the liberty to guide us in our lives. You want true freedom? Here's true freedom. It's not doing what you want. It's having the freedom to do what he wants. And I'm telling you that there is never a time in my life that I am more joyful than when I know I'm doing what he wants me to do. I may be tired. I may be hurting. Me and Brother Richard have a lot of conversations about baseball. That's something we have in common. We were both baseball stars. Okay, he was a baseball star. And we love it. We love baseball. But I have one thing, one memory about every game. I was a catcher. I have one memory about every game. After every game, I hurt. I can't think of a game I ever walked away from that I'm like, man, I feel great. So why do you keep showing up? Because I love it. As a Christian, you're going to get hurt sometimes. You're going to go through pain. But there's just something about being in the will of God and doing what he's called you to do that keeps you coming back for more. And that's true freedom. To do what he's called you to do. To do what he's put you on this planet to do. It's going to take a fight. Your flesh isn't going to want it to happen. And if you get past your flesh, the world and the devil will step in. But man, it's worth it. It's worth it. If you're lost, stop squandering your redemption. Trust Christ today. If you're saved, deepen your relationship with him. Bring sight to your reasoning. See things like God sees it. Be thoroughly discipled in the scriptures. Be totally dependent on the Savior. And that's how you get true freedom.